Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. Now, I know what you're thinking. The season hasn't started, and we said that we were going to come back once the season had started, which is actually... Did we say we were going to be back next week, which was obviously like pre-Bahrain?
I'll be honest, you kind of changed your mind over last month. You were like, we'll be back, you know, race week. We'll be back when testing starts. So it's kind of a bit inconsistent with what you were saying. But
okay, this still isn't the official first episode.
No.
Okay, the next first official episode is next week when I've got rid of this cold that I'm holding on to. As you can probably hear in my voice, I'm a little bit sinusy, more than usual. So if my voice is irritating you more than it does normally, that's I apologize. Just turn it off. But before you turn it off, please do give us a 5-star rating. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, it really does help us out. Even if you're listening on Google, Amazon, I don't know, wherever you take in your podcast or listen to Racecast, just give us 5 stars. It really does help us out. And we do want to kick forward for this new season. But yeah, obviously we had pre-season testing today. So we are going to talk all things out. We've obviously not discussed the rest of the cars that were released. I think when we spoke last, only half the cars had come out. So we're going to talk, I don't even know what cars we've got to talk about, but definitely the Mercedes, the Red Bull, the McLaren. And obviously we have seen them in, I guess, all their glory from today. But yeah, we are going to crack on with this. You know how it goes. Normally there's a car noise. We've dropped that for this season, but I'm just going to stop talking and then Matt is going to pick up. But before we do so, do make sure also that you follow us on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter. Just search Racecast and you will find us. If you can't, then it's not for you. We're going to crack on.
All right, guys. Welcome along. Yeah. What is it? 1 week tomorrow, the season starts.
Because now, who's going to do the public service announcement?
I can do it.
Announce this. Right, everyone, listen up, because this is a public service announcement. This, as far as I'm aware, is the best kept secret in Formula One. Forget about Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari. This is the best kept secret in Formula One. Now, what is it?
So, on the weekend, I was just scrolling through dates of, you know, when F1 is coming back and when things are and time-wise. And I came across the fact that actually the Bahrain Grand Prix and the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix are actually going to be on Saturdays.
This absolutely blew my mind, because I thought this would have been made abundantly clear. Now, I've even put this forward to like friends that are really keen on F1, like the big F1 fans. And I was like, hey, did you know the race is on Saturday? And they're just like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, genuinely, the race is on Saturday. But no one seems to know about it. And F1 do not make it clear. You know where you see where the race... Yeah. I know what you were talking about, where you were looking at the race times and... Or like 6 days to go or whatever. And you're like, 1, 2, 3, what? That's in
there. It made no sense. And I was really confused because I, you know, on this podcast, you might know, Luke takes the piss out of me quite often. And I had to really check my facts before I actually messaged Luke, because I was like, if he's going to come back and go, no, that is right, you're just being an idiot. But what is actually happening is, and I sent you a video, didn't I? I sent you that TikTok of explaining it. So the Bahrain Grand Prix actually starts next Thursday. So
as FP1.
FP1, FP2 is on Thursday. FP3 and qualifying is on Friday.
Yeah.
And the race is actually on Saturday. And there's a reason for this. Is a week later, it's the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix.
Correct.
And that weekend, on that Sunday, it's Ramadan.
Yeah.
Which meant that they can't have the race on the Sunday. So I know what some of you might be thinking. You might be thinking, hang on, well, how does that affect the Bahrain Grand Prix? There's a rule in place that you cannot have two Grand Prix in less than a week. So, for example, if the Bahrain Grand Prix was on a Sunday and then they went to Saudi Arabia and they raced on a Saturday, that would be illegal, basically.
Yeah.
So to actually...
Within the rules, they're not going to get arrested.
No, they're not going to, like, yeah. But they're going... What needs to happen is actually they are a week apart. So that's why the Bahrain Grand Prix is a Saturday.
But this is interesting, right? Because I want to... And Well, I would say that they think about this prior to the season starting, but we're well aware that they don't think of a lot of things over at the FIA. What if the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix was the 10th race of the season? I guess you'd just have to have a week off before it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessary. It's literally the fact that it falls on...
No, I know. But like, if it was the 10th race of the season and it had a race a week before it, you would have to do all those races like the day before, no? We'd just have Saturday race after Saturday race.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they've kept it such a big secret. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. We get to watch the race a day early.
I'm not even mad about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it was, that is something if you did know, let us know. But just confirm, Luke, that just say there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, doesn't it?
No, it is 100% on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because yeah, Ramadan starts on the 10th of March. So, you know, this obviously, the marshals work long and hard, and it's the first day of, you know, a tricky period for practicing Muslims.
So there's going to be three Saturday races this year.
Yeah, there is going to be three Saturday races, which, remember, we only had the first one last year. Well, yeah,
which was Vegas.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. Has that ever happened in F1?
We've had three on it.
If you do know, let me know. But I'm actually all for it. The fact that actually, like you say, we're getting the race early.
Yeah. That's the main thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're getting a race one day early. Like, what's there to complain about? It makes complete sense to bring it forward a day on the basis that, like, you know, it's obviously in a country like Saudi Arabia, which is a Muslim country, it's like a massive thing. So, yeah, it makes sense to just respect it and just have it a day early. It's absolutely zero burden to us as viewers, if anything.
No, nothing.
It's a positive. We get it one day early. It's making me more excited for the season, but I tell you what isn't making me more excited for the season. Testing results today.
Just before you go on to that, I was going to say, it's actually quite good for us because we can do we get the race out of the way on a Saturday. We watch Max Verstappen just go off, lead by 20, 30 seconds. Gives us Sunday to recover, and then we can start our week fresh. So that's how I'm looking at it.
It's true.
Yeah, as you know, testing started today, and you'll have to fill me in a bit here because I haven't completely seen any. I've seen some of the results, but what I do know from it, Max Verstappen is continuing as he left off.
Yeah, so, okay, look, here's the thing with testing that everyone is going to ram down your throat on Twitter because they're all better than you and they know better than you. It's just testing. The times don't matter. Okay, yeah, and you know, that is true to some extent. We're not really going to see true times, or at least more representative times until we get to Friday, and then even more so until we get really to Q1.
Yeah.
Next Friday, it will be. But there is still a lot you can take from testing, right? It doesn't take a genius to look at that Red Bull car and see it go around the track and think, oh shit, like, this looks good. Like, it was a bit scrappy when it first went out this morning, right? But they made some setup changes. Max came in the garage and they got that car moving smooth. You know, it doesn't take a genius to work that out. So if you're on Twitter and you're like, oh great, another Max domination season, and some schmuck comes along and says it's only testing, you DTS fan, you can tell them, yeah, but like, open your eyes, this car looks good.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's not to say that all we saw from Mercedes today was complete race pace. They were just going round and round and round. I don't think George opened his DRS once.
No.
So yeah, granted, you know, we haven't seen the best of any of the cars. But what I'm saying is you can see the cars that are kind of like, right, yeah, this looks pretty good. The Haas looks like dog shit.
But isn't that perfectly normal, apart from being a Red Bull fan, as any other fan, to go, especially after last year of the dominance of that Red Bull, and you see how strong they've already started, whether you're a Drive to Survive fan or whatever, your initial thought is going to be, shit, this is going to be another long season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty fair assumption to make. And I mean, even Anthony Davidson was saying, because the Red Bull, I'm not sure if you can pull up the testing times there, but
yeah.
Max was at least, he was over a second quicker than P2, who was Lando Norris.
So just to break it down, so after at the end of day one, Max Verstappen was in P1 with a lap time of 1:31.3. So he was 1.1 seconds clear of Lando Norris
now,
in P2.
Anthony Davidson was saying he was like, I cannot remember the last time, even in testing, a car was 1.1 second clear of the rest.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to continually batter on about the fact that it is testing and these times are not representative of what we're going to see in the race, because, like, yeah, okay, we all know that here. We understand that. But 1.1 seconds is a lot of time. And if they, you know, if teams were, like, kind of showing, like, we don't know how much of their hands team was showing. So, yeah. If they were all showing the same amount and Red Bull had that gap, in theory, that's going to just move uniformly up. Just everyone's going to get
quicker.
It's
going to get quicker, yeah.
But even Red Bull. So the gap might not change. The times will just get quicker. Now, we'll go through every single team individually, I think. I think it's good that we show how that looks. But yeah, first initial thoughts. McLaren looks decent.
Yeah.
Ferrari seemed to still be struggling with a bit of bouncing, but the car generally looks pretty good. Mercedes, yeah, I don't think we really saw a lot, but compared to last year, looks a hell lot better.
Well,
in
I mean,
testing,
from what I've read, is Mercedes are actually fairly happy with how day one's gone, in the sense of their race pace looks good, their front wing seems to be doing the job, and actually they're quite happy with it.
Yeah, and we'll definitely dive into that more when we touch on Mercedes, but I don't think they've got, like last season, where it's like, fuck, I don't think they've got anything to worry about. Do I think at this point they're going to be competing with Red Bull? No. But I don't think anyone expected that anyway. I just, for me, as a Mercedes fan, the important thing was coming to testing and not being like, oh, they've fucked up again. You know, watching the car and it being stable. You know, let's start on Mercedes. Let's just keep it simple, right? So we're going to go through every single team now. What our thoughts are on the car and obviously delivery and how it looked today and how we think maybe the season could pan out based off one day of testing. So do not hold us to any of this, because it is likely going to change even tomorrow. And don't forget that, was it 2022, K-Mag in the Haas finished the second day of testing top of the timetable. Yeah. So, you know.
It's very hard, and I think
a lot of testing is not looking necessarily at the times, it's looking at how the car behaves. And that's not like, neither you or me are any aerodynamicist specialists, or
you don't know,
but like, you know, to the naked eye you can normally tell when a car is, you know, how often is the driver having to correct it, like is the back end stepping out, like how pokey is the front, like there are certain things you can sort of pick up on and be like, fuck, that looks like a bit of a handful. Or,
well, it was only
that is what you have to look out for during these, rather than
look at the bigger picture
rather than
time-wise.
Yeah, they're top of the timetables. They must be quickest. It's not truly how it works, which kind of contradicts what I'm saying, because Red Bull were top.
Yeah.
But their car looks, it just glides around.
But again, after last year, you can kind of expect it. It was only George Russell who ran today. He did 120-something laps.
Yeah, it was only George and Max that ran the whole day.
Yeah, Sergio and Lewis didn't feature today, but I'm assuming they're going to feature on day two.
Yeah, I think they've got all day tomorrow. Lewis definitely has tomorrow. I'm not sure about.
But, you know, George spoke afterwards about it. He said, first day complete in W15, driving it in anger for the first time.
Driving it in anger.
That's what it says. Definitely feels nicer to drive and really good foundations to build on. But as we know, it's not about who has the nicest car to drive. It's about which car is the quickest on the stopwatch. We'll learn over the next few days. It's not going to be until the race weekend where we truly see the teams done an amazing job to make a lot of changes from last year. I love someone's comment here. Why is he driving in anger? And then somebody's gone, so it's a new tractor or not?
No, but I think that it is, like, there's positive readings there. You know, that you could see the disappointment
yeah.
in the Mercedes garage last year when it was kind of like instant realization of like, oh fuck,
yeah,
we've done it again. Whereas I do think, look, I mean, I watched testing in 2022 when they brought what was expected to be a really good car.
Yeah.
It then failed. I watched testing in 2023 when they'd apparently cracked the code to the zero pods and it failed. The Mercedes car, watching it on track, it is moving like it should,
yeah.
if that makes sense. And I'm definitely not saying it's a rocket ship.
No.
But I do not think that they're starting the season off with issues. And that is already, as a Mercedes fan, that is a win for me. Took a sip of water there. And there's positive readings in George's message. Do you know what I mean? He is clearly happy with how the car is feeling. And Anthony Davidson has already said, you know, when he drove it in the sim, that it feels like a proper car for the first time.
And I think it's going to be very, like you say, very interesting to see over the next few days. I don't think we'll come out of these next few days knowing exactly where all teams will be. But from what I've read, is positive. Mercedes going in the right direction. Ferrari, on the other hand, they had a bit of a tough day, didn't they?
Well, I'm not sure if they had a tough day. I mean,
They had a lot of bouncing.
There was a lot of bouncing. But Ferrari had a lot of bouncing last year, and they had a lot of bouncing the year before. Now, it didn't. You know, Carlos Sainz was still
third.
Yeah. Is it just a characteristic of that car? I don't like. It doesn't look like the porpoising that the Mercedes had really badly. There's some sort of bouncing going on with that car where it would likely be quicker without that.
Yeah.
But I do think the Ferrari looks like a decent car again.
Yeah, but like we said last week or a couple of weeks ago, Ferrari have a good foundations of a car, which, you know, they over the last couple of years, they've been with this new concept. Mm-hmm. Realistically, you know, year one of this, 2022, they had the second best car on the grid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, for a fair period of it, they had the best car on the grid.
Yeah, they've got a good car there. It's just changing, tweaking it to make it, take it to that next level.
Yeah.
And I know we'll get onto liveries later and we'll rate our favourite livery, but it does look beautiful.
Yeah, they've nailed the red. Like the actual red of the Ferrari. Yeah. So if you compare it to the 2022 one, it's a much nicer red. Yeah. It's nice seeing a bit of colour. But yeah, so Ferrari definitely, I think, have a really strong foundation.
Yeah.
I think I can't see them like struggling this year, but you know, I'm still going to put the season down to Red Bull. Mm. Again, the car does have that bouncing, whether that's something that they can rectify. Interestingly, I can't remember what way round it is. They're the only team with a push rod rear suspension.
Really?
Rather than a pulled rod. It might be the wrong way around. They're either the only team with a push rod or they're the only team with a pull rod. Which is quite interesting that 9 out of 10 teams have decided that one way is more effective, but Ferrari have gone for the other. So I wonder if that's... You can still probably change a suspension within the cost cap, I'm sure. It just might not leave a lot of room for other stuff. But I wonder if that's something that we'll see change throughout the season.
Yeah.
If it is possible. I mean, if you're some F1 nerd and you're like, hey, you can't do that halfway through the season, mate. Fair play. But I mean, if you can, I wonder if it's something that we'll see see them change. Because it is interesting that they're 1 out of 10 teams to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and the 9 others have opted for the alternative route.
Just talking about Red Bull, Helmut Marko came out this evening and it, where he spoke about the Red Bull and how they are. He said he expects the RB20 to be 0.3 quicker than the competition. The chasing cars seem to be even closer together than last year. And they said almost nothing separates Ferrari, McLaren, Aston Martin and Mercedes. But one thing is also clear, Red Bull is ahead.
Yeah, I do think that's a fair assumption. You know, again, it's a tough one. Whether to you can say they're clear or not, we have no idea what the other teams are saying.
Yeah.
What I think one thing we can say is that the Red Bull definitely looks like it is the best car to drive on the grid. And yeah, I wouldn't say that, they're definitely clear.
No.
I would say it is likely that they are clear. But you know, we just won't know. Like, say for example, if Mercedes have found insane performance with this front wing, right? And this is completely hypothetical. It's obviously disgruntled a few teams because it's against the spirit of the regulations, and it's been questioned. Is it legal? It has been cleared by the FIA as legal.
It's weird. Horner hasn't been very vocal.
I don't think he has a lot of room to speak at the moment. But you know, if Mercedes have found some like big performance gain, like using that, and they are not going to show their hand at this point, particularly because they've revamped the whole car. If the car is all of a sudden now like on par with Red Bull,
you'll see it next week.
Yeah, they're not going to show that here. And I think that's all we have to be cautious of. I think, you know, teams like, I think McLaren are probably holding back quite a bit of pace as well. They had such good development last year, right? There's absolutely no way, in my opinion, that they've gone into the winter and not made big strides. Yeah. Because I think what was really evident about McLaren is that they had a vision and they made it work. You know, as opposed to Aston Martin, where it sort of went backwards.
Worked and then, yeah.
Yeah. You know, McLaren came to the season with a poor car, but it said, yeah, but give us a bit of time. We've got stuff in the pipeline. They brought it. It worked. The car got better and better. And I do think we're going to see an effective McLaren this season. Yeah. So,
I mean, I'm expecting them to be strong. I'm expecting them to start strong. Because obviously, last 2 years, they've struggled badly in the initial opening races.
Yeah. No, they should start. They've got no excuse to not start strong.
Yeah.
So, Red Bull are not going to be 1.1 second ahead.
No.
That is, if they are, that is truly absurd, right? Now, I know we can look at the W... W07 or something, the 2014 spec,
yeah,
where they were a second ahead a lap, right? Not in testing, but like come the race, like they were a lap quicker at Bahrain. The reason that's less obscene than if Red Bull did it this season is because that was the start of new regulations, and more often than not, you find that one team nail it. If we're 3 seasons in and you've got a 1 second lead per lap on teams, that is mental.
Yeah.
Because the other teams, you know, it's the law of diminishing returns where the car can only go so quick. So you're going to be adding, your gains are going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. You see that? Sorry, we're watching the football here. Turned it around 2-1 in the space of a few minutes. Anyway, yeah, that's my thought. That the Red Bull is not going to be a second quicker. I do think it is likely to be 2-3 quicker.
Yeah. Let's just wrap it up, shall we, quickly, with regards to testing. Danny Rick did all right in that Red Bull visa cap cash.
Yeah, WhatsApp. I mean, I'll tell you what, right? It's a really, really horrible name. Mm. I actually really like the way the car looks. Obviously, we were speaking in the group chat earlier. I think it looks like an F1 car from, like, the noughties.
It looks nice.
It is like, it's exactly what you used to see in like, I remember racing in cars that looked like that on like F104, where it's got that old school look about it.
It looks slick.
yeah, there is something quite cool about it. And yeah, it might have the tackiest name in the whole entire world and in the history of F1. But kind of vibing with how it looks. And the car looks decent. Yeah. From what I saw today.
So Danny Ric, P4. He managed to get 51 laps in. Tsunoda, 64 laps. He was down in P13. But
you always expect the evening session is always
Aston Martin's P6 and P8. I mean, the Aston Martin's looked reasonably okay today.
Yeah, the Aston Martin just looked like it looked fine. You know, it didn't quite. Obviously, last year Aston came and it was like, oh shit, like what the hell have they done? Didn't quite get that today with them, but yeah, again, I think that their car's gonna be kind of strong.
Haas looked a bit poor down in P17 and 18.
Haas looked very poor. That did look like the worst car on the grid, in my opinion. Holy shit, what a save! That was comfortably, in my opinion, the worst car on the grid.
And a brand new season, and one guarantee is that Logan Sargeant will spin.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
As always. Did you hear about him? He's put on 5 kilos over the winter break.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, that's like lean muscle mass.
Yeah.
Because you can't be fat if you're driving an F1. Obviously, muscle weighs more than fat.
Yep.
So if you put on 5 kg of fat, you'd see it around his face. I think he's taken it upon himself to actually try and improve. So let's see how he does this season. I'm not sure whether getting stronger is going to make him a better driver, but he's definitely got the right intentions.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Shall we quickly us know
what cars have we not touched on? Steak. I'm gonna come out and say I think I kind of like the way it looks.
Let's get onto this in a minute because we want to talk about liveries because I want to hear your best and worst.
And then what other cars are there? Obviously the Williams. I think the Williams looks all right. They look like they've taken strides.
Yeah,
but again, finally they've got the fucking screen on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Why has it taken so long?
Didn't want to spend the money.
That is. Oh my god, I hated it so much.
Didn't want to spend the money. But no, it looks good. It looks good, and it seems to. I think James Fowles is cooking. I think he's going to be, you know.
He's doing a very, very good job.
Yeah. But I think that's all the teams we've covered there. McLaren we covered. Yeah, I think we covered majority of teams briefly. Do let us know what your thoughts on day one of testing.
Alpine.
Oh, yeah, Alpine. Pierre Gasly did all right down in P5,
yeah, they've got a really weird nose on the car.
I don't like it.
I fucking hate that car.
Yeah.
I'm going to ruin the livery chat. That's the worst livery on the grid.
All right. Should we just get onto this livery chat? Because I'll get involved as well. Do let us know. What is your favourite F1 livery for 2024?
Are you asking me or
yeah,
the
I'm
viewer?
Asking you.
The viewer, the listener. There are a few. Oh my god, sorry, I'm a bit snotty. So one thing I admire about Red Bull, right? I'm not a fan of their livery because it's boring. It just always stays the same. But they've just slapped the whole car has got a livery on, right? Yeah. It's not carbon. And I like that. But I actually don't like the colours. I don't think they're flattering or anything. Ferrari. Again, I like the fact that they've just got colour and you can't really go wrong with a red Ferrari.
Yeah.
They're normally nice to look at. I mean, I've never really been a fan of the papaya McLaren.
No.
I want them to bring a chrome McLaren back. I really like the Mercedes livery.
Mm.
I think it's really clean. And I think when you're riding the onboard, particularly with George, who wears like his helmet and the gloves are the same color as like the Petronas stuff on the car, I think that is a really clean livery that they've got. And again, you know, the car's not just carbon. They have it looks,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Or like everything works where they have got black, like it all works.
Yeah.
I do think the like PayPal Bitcoin Monzo car is there's something about it that like I know that 90% of people are probably going to hate it.
Yeah.
But to me, it looks like a proper old school racing car.
Yeah.
And I love it for that reason. You know, even like it's shiny.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? And yeah, with like the different colours. I know it's only like white and white.
Blue and red.
Blue and red. But I just like it. I don't know why. I can't pick and choose what I like.
No.
For some reason, I like it. And I like it because it's old school. There's something about that steak car as well that I do like.
Yeah.
The green is extremely striking. Very confusing because I just thought it was a car with like an obscene amount of Flovis on every time I saw it.
I respect it though. And I like the fact it's bold.
Car,
yeah, I like it's bold. All right. Your top...
No one. I just want to put it out there this season, right? Absolutely no one can fucking crash into that car this season because you can't miss it. If you crash into it, you need to quit Formula One, right? Absolutely no one should be crashing into that steak car unless you crash into it because you physically cannot open your eyes because it's just blinding you. There is no excuse for you to be crashing into that car.
All right. So if you had to pick your top three liveries of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, can I just say, if you're listening at home, it's per people's preference, what you like. Let us know. Tell me which one's your favourite. So, in P3, what are you going for?
P3, I'm going Ferrari. P2, I'm going Mercedes. And P1, I'm going for the Barclay card app car.
Yeah, okay.
That is, like I say, I know that 90% of you listening are probably going to be like, wow, like you must have some sort of issue with your brain. But there is something about it that I simply just love. And,
yeah.
You know, whether it's the fact that it looks like an old school car, I'm pretty sure it's that. But I just like it.
No, fair. If I had to pick, in P3, I would go... Mercedes.
Yeah. Mercedes have really nailed this livery.
Yeah.
You know, it's... For me, I could never really conceptualize the mixing the silver with the black. I couldn't see how it would work. But I think they've done it really well. And although I think last year was so much... last year, that black livery on that Mercedes was...
Lovely.
Arguably one of my favorite cars ever.
Yeah.
Shame it was a shitter, but... But I knew they were going to move away from it this season. And I think what they've done is really cool. And I much prefer it to all silver.
Yeah. P2 for me. The Visa app Red Bull.
Oh, you like it as well?
Yeah, I do like it. P1 for me is Ferrari.
I don't think that's...
I like the white. I just think it looks slick. I think they've got the sponsors placement really nice.
Yeah, I like their little Peroni.
Yeah,
sponsor at the
front. I just think it looks nice. But a close, if I had to pick another one to be in that top, I'd have gone with the Williams. I don't know why. I just like the Williams.
Yeah,
think it looks slick.
The Williams isn't bad. You know, I think it's also they've tried to like slap the color in it.
Yeah.
Like I say, I'll reiterate. Hands down, the worst is that Alpine.
Yeah.
And especially because they had the fucking audacity to tease us with a pink camo front
wing. And
there's
nothing.
There's not even any camo on. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
Like, what were they doing?
I just think when you're looking at that Ferrari, it just looks...
No, the Ferrari looks nice.
It looks slick. You've got a bit of the yellow in there, a bit of the white.
Yeah, and they've got the right amount of the yellow and white.
There's nothing... Yeah, I really
pull
like
it. Pull up the Alpine one. I want to slag them off.
Okay. Well, we can lead into that then, because what would you say is your top three worst liveries?
Well, that is the worst. That is hands down the worst. I don't know. It's I really don't like the McLaren one, to be honest. So it's probably that, the McLaren. The reason I'm not going to put Red Bull on this list is because I respect the fact that they've actually like painted their whole car. I might not like vibe with the livery, but at least it's not just got like a splash of colour, which I know might sound like contradictory because I'm saying that I actually really like the steak car, which is just carbon fibre with licks of green on. But the green is really bold and it's sick, and we've never seen anything like that before. And, you know, well, what would the closest thing be? Probably the brawn, which was white.
But hang on, isn't the Red Bull just the same livery as every year?
No, it is. But, like, at least they haven't stripped it back to put carbon, you know, leave carbon on it. That's why I'm not putting them in there, because I think, well, at least they've made the effort to paint the whole fucking car. Now... probably the Haas. I don't particularly like the Haas livery. But I do feel like there's let's see them. That Alpine one. I mean, that it's just obscene. That doesn't even look like an Alpine. You know, the two things that you associate with Alpine are blue, and the pink, lovely, 3-1. Let's go, boys.
And you told me you can score earlier.
Luis Diaz is a terrible decision maker. Oh, I just liked the photo. I thought it was a like on Facebook.
Come on,
Twitter. Sorry.
Top three. So in P10, what are you going for?
P10 is Alpine. That's like unquestionable. Then it's McLaren. Again, like, they've just stripped loads of the orange off. The car's lost all its character. You know I said I'm not a fan of the papaya, but I'd rather the car, like, have more of its essence about it. Aston Martin, they've done all right to keep the green. I quite like the green. There is something that I fucking hate about that Duracell battery on the Williams. And there's nothing worse, and I'll tell you why. I also hate the Kraken sponsor.
Yeah.
Because when you play F1, if you've got the Kraken sponsor in your face, it means you fucked up qualifying. And you're starting at the back. And then you've got to navigate past Logan or Albon, who are inevitably going to try and crash into you as you go into the corner. So yeah, I'm gonna go Alpine last, McLaren, then Williams. All right. I think the Williams last year was nicer.
Okay. For me, I would say the Haas. I just really don't like it.
Yeah, I can understand that. After looking at it, though, in that picture, I actually thought maybe I was a bit harsh on the Haas.
Yeah, it's just not for me. I want to put Red Bull there just simply because if you're a designer, you've got the easiest job ever in the world.
Well, yeah, it just...
Right, guys, so what are we thinking for the 2024 livery? Copy and paste.
Yeah.
So for me, that's in there. And I would say Alpine or McLaren. Alpine. I like the steak car. I actually think it's bold. I think it's something completely different.
Yeah.
I rate it.
And the thing is, right, so we talk about the carbon.
Yeah.
That team doesn't have an existing identity.
No.
So, like... For all we like can associate with that team, that is how they look now, right?
Yep.
When you look at McLaren, all I'm thinking is all of a sudden, why is there so much black in there?
Yeah.
Like, you were orange, like, through and through.
And now you're changing it to try and make it
Whereas, lighter. So, like, steak is a bit more like, okay, well, you know, you haven't been in F1 before, so, okay, this is how you look. So it's fine.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Let us know. What do you think? I want to know. So, answer these three questions for me.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be world champion this year?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to really stand out? Who's going to be your shock prospect? And who's going to be the worst on the grid, driver-wise? So, world champion.
World champion. Look.
These are just predictions.
I want you to ask these exact same questions, though, on our episode after the first race of the season.
Okay, fine.
But, look, I will always back Lewis Hamilton. But at this point, I can't back anyone other than Max.
Yeah.
Because they've got the car. The car looks, you know, after day one of testing, right? It's day one, fine. It just looks super slick.
Yeah.
It looks like they've hit the nail on the head. We're hearing that come Japan, they're going to just get rid of the side pods and we're going to have a zero pod Red Bull. And we know they're not going to fuck it up.
No.
And, you know, if there is a reason Mercedes brought that concept at first. And I do genuinely believe if they had made that work, it would have been a huge advantage. Yeah. But they couldn't. But Red Bull have got all the foundations to make this work. And yeah, I think we could see some disgusting advantage through that.
Yeah.
I think what would be funny is if all the teams have started following suit and Mercedes went back to having no side pods. But yeah, so Max Verstappen, world champion. I think... now, I'm not sure if this is... I think the surprise driver is actually going to be Lando Norris.
Yeah.
I think we actually might genuinely see a very competitive Lando Norris this year. McLaren have made progress with the car. Looked pretty strong today in testing. Now, I know that might be like, what do you mean? How can he be a prospect or a surprise? Well, because actually Lando has never really competed. I'm talking about Lando going for... pushing for P2 in the championship here. That's, I think we could see something like that this season. And then worst driver on the grid, it would be very easy for me to say Logan Sargeant here. But I'm actually going to spin a curveball and say K-Mag or Guan Yu Zhou.
Interesting.
I think K-Mac had a poor season last season.
Yeah.
You know, Haas had generally a poor season. But Hülkenberg actually had some... He was all right.
Yeah.
You know, he had some really good qualies. The car was an abysmal race car. And yeah, so I think the car looks pretty poor this year. So I'm going to say K-Mag is going to be our worst driver of the season. What about you?
Well, champion, I can't see anyone else par Max. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, I wanted to say Oscar, but I have this feeling, and don't, when I say shock driver, what I mean by that is somebody who's really stepped it up or taken it to that next level. Don't necessarily mean race wins, but you're starting to see like the top five, top four finishes consistently. I think Pierre Gasly.
That's a very bold statement.
I don't know why. I just have this feeling with Gasly. But saying that, I had that feeling with Carlos Sainz and look where that left me over the last couple of years. But what I mean by that, I just think he's going to be more consistent with points and performances.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously a big part of that is going to be, well, have Alpine got the car to do so? I think that will be, you know, I've always rated Gasly. I've always thought he's a pretty sound driver. Like, you know, not a world beater, but, you know, you can always count on him putting in a shift. And, but yeah, it's whether Alpine have just, you know, so the reason I'll back my Norris thing is that, well, I really believe that McLaren are going to have the car. I'm just not sure that Alpine are. Mm. I might be eating my words after the first race of the season, but it's a bold choice.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But I also think, after Bahrain, we'll say, actually, I'll probably backtrack very quick.
Yeah.
But I will say, worst driver, I'm going to stick with my guns, Logan Sargeant. I just feel it. Quick question. This year, do you think Oscar Piastri will win a race before Lando Norris in this McLaren this year?
Yeah, it's weird.
Because I think Oscar Piastri will have a solid season. He had a fantastic rookie season.
I think Oscar is really good. Like, oh God, sorry, that's a horrible noise. Oscar is obviously a very good driver, yeah, right? There's a reason McLaren paid so much for him, went through all the hassle to get him, blah, blah. But I continue to find it strange how people do rate him over Lando Norris. Now, we give Lando, particularly me, a lot of stick on this podcast. And yeah, okay, Oscar won the sprint race before him, and we do mock him for that, because also Danny Ric won a race in a McLaren before him, and we give him stick for that. But if you're telling me that you're taking Oscar Piastri at this point in time over Lando Norris, I cannot wrap my head around that decision. And you're not the only one. There are a lot of people that say this.
Well, hang on. I didn't say it. I'm asking you a question.
No, but you have said that before, that you think Oscar is going to outperform Lando. You have backed that many times.
Yeah.
And a lot of people online do as well. Now, whether that's just because I need to see the proof in the pudding before I start thinking of things like this, I really do not understand how people come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Because, okay, Lando hasn't won a race. He has proven himself to be a very, very competitive driver.
Yeah.
You know, and we've said Lando is a very, very good driver.
Yeah.
He's not one of the greats. But that's not to say he can't be one day. I personally don't think he'll get there. But, you know, I'm more than happy to look like an idiot in a few years' time, or even after this season. Yeah. I don't really give a shit. But how can you take him over? How can you take Oscar Piastri over him at this point in time? I will never know.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point. So your money would be on Lando Norris getting a win before Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, and I know people are going to comment and say, like, well, Oscar's already got a win.
Well, no, a proper race win.
Yeah, like, a sprint win isn't a real win. But it's still cool. And that's incredible to do in your rookie season. That's not to detract from that. But, like, I firmly believe that if a McLaren is to win a race this season, it will be Lando. I'd probably rather it be Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
But if I had 20 quid and I had to stick it on one of them, I would stick it on Lando.
I just, and I know you criticised me last year when I said, you know, I think Oscar will be better than Lando Norris. For me, I still stand by it. I think he will. But I just feel Lando Norris has got so much pressure on him.
Oh, he does. Lando and does have a lot of pressure
on
him.
He showed, even in the last race again in Abu Dhabi, do you remember in qualifying? He was making those mistakes. He was going off track, you know, like, I just think he just can't handle the pressure. You saw last year when he, you know, getting challenged by Max or whatever, eventually, you know, Max has played his car, and granted that car was a rocket ship, but over the years, you look at the drivers, right, who've got a race win before him. Pierre Gasly in that AlphaTauri, he's got a race win before him.
No, I know.
Ocon in that Alpine has got a race win before him.
You do have to look at those wins, and they are mostly circumstantial.
Yeah.
Well, like, so you do have to be in the right place at the right time.
Max,
you know,
Verstappen almost decapitated Lewis Hamilton. Who went on to win that race? Danny Ric. He took it upon himself to go on. And yeah, I'm not being funny. Danny Ric was in the worst form of his career, and he still went on and got a win.
I stand by Lando would have beaten him if he had just ignored team orders.
But why didn't he?
No, I don't.
And this is exactly what we said before. If you, the greats go on and get what they want.
No, and I stand by this. Lando doesn't, in my opinion, have the killer instinct that Lewis Hamilton has, or that Max Verstappen has. No. Like the cold.
Do you think Max or Lewis would have said, "Oh yes, I'll stay behind"?
No, come on. Let's be honest. Like,
but they're world champions. They go on to win because they have that killer instinct. Lando Norris, granted, yes, okay, I'm doing team orders or whatever. If he wanted to get his, you know, first win in F1, that was his opportunity. Danny Ricks won before.
No, yeah, and he should have gone for it. I don't understand why he didn't, but I mean, you know, keeping peace in the team or whatever. But yeah, you wouldn't have caught Max or Lewis staying behind. I honestly, I don't even think you would have caught Charles staying behind.
No.
But yeah, and I think, you know, we've said this when we say, well, why the hell does he just let Max pass? And I think it's just because he doesn't have that cold killer instinct to be like, right, well, I'm going to race him to the fucking bone here.
Yeah. They're friends.
But, yeah, they are friends. But my money is still on Lando over Oscar. At this point in time, I'm happy to revisit this next year and for everyone here to laugh at me.
Let us know. What do you think? Do you think Lando Norris will get a win before Oscar? Or will Oscar get a win before Lando? Do let us know. What else is there to talk about?
Obviously, we've got the Horner saga.
Yeah, that's still ongoing.
There's not really much to update on there.
Well, in their car release last week, they spoke to him and he denies all allegations. However, since then, rumours have come out that actually this woman wants to take it to court now. There's reports that actually the person who whistleblowed on it was his assistant. There's been so many different reports that have come out. But what my feeling is, if there was nothing, it would have been cleared by now.
There is normally no smoke without fire, but here's my take on it, right? Whatever allegations have been made against him, they have to be taken seriously, yeah, right? 100%. But what that also doesn't mean is that automatically Christian Horner is an offender, you know?
Yeah.
There's no saying that he has done anything wrong at this point, but we need to take the accusation seriously and it needs to go through this investigative process. Believe me, there's no one on this earth who wishes more that Christian Horner gets pushed out of his job, right? But what I'm not going to do is play up to the thing of like, oh, throw him under the bus, like, you know, hang, draw, core him, whatever. You know, let the process go through. Hopefully, it is quick because for everyone involved, that's going to be, you know, if there is a genuine victim here, the last thing they need is for this to be dragged out. If Horner is innocent here, the last thing he needs is for this to be dragged out. Yeah. So, you know, there are rumours that he offered to pay $650,000. These are all rumours to someone to...
Apparently, this was at the end of last year.
Yeah,
So, it's really interesting to see where this is going to go because...
We still don't truly know what has happened. And that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of speculation, which is why it is also, like, you know, important why we're not like, well, he's definitely done this.
Well, but interesting, Toto Wolff came out and he was disgusted about it. And he said, what we need in here is just transparency. We need honesty to know where we're at with this because it is affecting F1.
Yeah, it is because it is putting a really bad light on it. And the thing is, you don't know whether that's because we're being leaked true snippets of the story or because we've just got people making up rumours, which, you know, F1 is a renowned sport for being male-dominated and very difficult for females, and you know, there's enough like female driving puns and that exist where it makes it an even more difficult area for them to get into. And yeah, so it's like, if this stuff has happened, it is damaging to the sport because it's like, I see they don't respect women, and this is how the team principal of the best team on the grid treats a woman.
But also, yeah, it goes back down to that whole thing of, you know, you got the team boss, all this experience, and he thinks it's okay to treat someone like that.
Yeah.
And that goes down to, you know, it's...
Do you know what? If it is true, right?
Yeah.
Because what are the rumours that he was like...
Inappropriate texting, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I can never wrap my head around. He literally has it all. He's married to a fucking Spice Girl. Right, he's got a nice family with her. We've seen the house on Drive to Survive.
Yeah. Because we're Drive to Survive fans.
Well, obviously, he's got a tremendous amount of money.
He's got everything he needs.
That is, you know, he's got one of the most desired jobs in the world. Mm. Imagine how sick it would be. Okay, very high pressure, granted. But what an incredible, incredible life that you're going to throw away to try and sleep with someone, or like, do you know what I mean? I don't know what the motives were here. And that's the thing that I always struggle to wrap my head around. I'm like, wow, you'd really risk it all for that.
Mm.
Like, he's got a class life.
Mm. Like, it's weird, isn't it?
Red Bull, like, not some crap little team. It's just
Then sometimes, and this is what it goes down to, again, we don't know this if it's true or not, but it's a whole ego thing, isn't it? I can get what I want.
Yeah.
And
he does give those vibes, do you know what I mean? He is that sort of like egotistical. Yeah.
But, you know, as I said, we don't know if this is true or not. And this is something which we'll, you know, hopefully find out soon, and it can take down, the right pathway and deal with whatever it needs to do. But it is something that is definitely hovering a bad light over the sport at the moment. And, it needs to be resolved, doesn't it? Otherwise, it is going to extend and it's going to cause a lot of tension.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, it needs to be resolved. It's just, is it meant to be resolved by this week? That's what I was hearing.
No, they wanted, there was reports that they wanted it done before the Bahrain Grand Prix. But they're not sure that's going to actually happen. Obviously, last week he was in a 10-hour meeting about it.
Yeah, which I speculate on the truth of that. A 10-hour meeting, like, come on, like, how much of this is for show?
What do you think? It was like 30 minutes and they were actually playing pool.
He was not in a 10-hour meeting. Like, you don't even have fucking interrogations that long. Like, let's be fucking real here. Like, a lot of what we're going to be fed is just like PR.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But yeah, hopefully they just sort it out quickly.
We can move on.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, if it is true, then the right punishments can happen, can't they?
Well, so, yeah, I mean, if it's true, he's going to lose his job. Let's be real. Which, fine. I mean, good. Like, you know, if he's done something that deserves to lose his job, good. I mean, you know, like I say, if he loses his job for any reason, from my point of view, good. But
I wouldn't wish out on anyone.
What?
Just to lose their job if it was for any other reason. Obviously they've done something wrong, fine. See you later.
What, so you just want Christian Horner stick around? He's a great character in the sport. Like,
what I mean, okay, in terms of like, say he's done nothing wrong, okay? Say for example he's done nothing wrong. I wouldn't just want him to go because he is, although however much I dislike him, he brings a lot to F1 with regards to his character.
Yeah, no, you do kind of like love to hate him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like, there's not one bone in my body that likes one single thing about him. But it is, it's always good to have a villain.
Yeah. But
in the same way that like Red Bull fans probably look at Toto.
Yeah.
Where like he's their villain and that's fine. But yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what happens with it. Drive to Survive out this Friday.
Yep.
I've seen a lot of trailers.
Yeah.
It looks interesting.
No, I don't buy into the trailers.
No.
They always make it look like it's going to be intense.
Yeah.
And then they release it and it's normally not.
Anything else to cover?
Obviously, testing tomorrow, testing the day after. And we'll probably find out a lot more like Friday evening. Of like really,
yeah.
We'll have more of an understanding of where we're actually at, and then obviously the big one is going to be Friday evening next week where we've got quali.
Do you know what I'm really looking forward to?
What?
Getting back up and running properly with this podcast, with talking about races.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have some actual race content to talk about.
But do stay tuned. We got a lot of content that is going to be coming out for you guys. Do check us out on TikTok, all social media as well. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. We'll be back next week, previewing the Bahrain Grand Prix, reviewing the testing. Hopefully we might have some Horner news. We don't know. But yeah, thank you again for your support. And Luke, I shall see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.